everyone. Welcome to the Jujutetas podcast. My name is Stacy. I am a Jujuteta, and this is my podcast. Hey everyone, it is good to be back. We are heading into the warmer weather now. It's May. I know around here in Chicagoland, it's been really nice lately, which has really been helping my mental health, my mood, everything like that. I'm really looking forward to summer, and that also means that we are getting ready to wrap up season 2 of the podcast. We're not quite done yet. After this week, I do have one more interview for you before we wrap the season. But never fear, I will be back with the season 2 recap in August, and then I will be back with season 3 starting in September. So be looking forward to that. In the meantime, this interview that I have here, I sat down with my friend and training partner, Jennifer Yeager. Jen and I have been training for a long time, actually. You'll hear this, but we both realized how many years we've been training, and it kind of blew our minds a little bit. But Jen and I have been training partners for many years now, and I just really enjoyed listening to her story and hearing, you know, where she started and where she is now and where she hopes to go in the future. So, without further ado, here is Jen Yeager. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Stacy.
Thank you so much for being here.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Would you mind introducing yourself for the podcast audience?
Yes, absolutely. My name is Jennifer Yeager. I train at Gracie Baja Downers Grove in the Chicagoland area. I have been training now for 6 years, I believe, since May of 2018, actually. So my anniversary month, and I am a purple belt.
I can't believe it's been 6 years.
No, right?
Wow. Oh my gosh.
Time
flies. Yeah, and you're a purple belt now.
Yes.
Oh gosh, it does. Yeah. Yeah, can you believe we've been training for this long?
No.
It's like, for you, it's 6 years. For me, it's coming on 8.5.
Oh, wow.
It is crazy.
Seems like yesterday when I was just a white belt stumbling onto the mats for my intro class. And it's hard to believe. I was actually talking to my mom and she was like, 6 years. Can't believe you've been training that long. I'm like, it really does. Time flies. And, you know, it's been fun. So I just, you know, enjoyed the journey thus far and continue to, you know, want to explore and continue my journey in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. So speaking of your journey, would you mind sharing the origin story? Like, how did you get started with jiu-jitsu in the first place?
Yeah, it's kind of random. I was looking for something more. Just, I didn't know, you know, if I wanted to continue my education and get a master's degree, if I wanted to do CrossFit. I was looking for a hobby, but I also wanted something that was going to keep me fit and be like good cardiovascular and keep me, you know, in shape as I get older. And I did my research and was looking into things, and jiu-jitsu was just it. I felt like it was, you know, educational. It was giving me not only a great workout, but a tool, you know, self-defense, something that I take with me in everyday life. I'm also a single mom, so I like to travel with my daughter. And sometimes we didn't feel so safe, just mother-daughter combo traveling. You know, you feel like maybe there's a target on you. So just being, you know, a weaker sex and being solo without any male accompany. So I like the idea of knowing that I have self-defense in my back pocket if I forever, you know, would need to use it. Haven't had to, so thankfully never will, but just being equipped with, you know, that knowledge alone gives you confidence.
Oh, for sure. Actually, I think I stole this from somebody. Mm-hmm. I didn't come up with this myself, but it really resonated with me because I was like, oh, that's so true. So basically what it is self-defense is like insurance.
Yeah.
You know, you get it hoping that you'll never have to use it, but if you need it, it's there.
Yep, exactly. It's good to have, right? And just even being able to influence others, females, right? And being that role model, like including, I want to be the role model for my daughter of, you know, eventually I hope that she takes on training jiu-jitsu. We'll get there. We've done little bits of self-defense in our, you know, female self-defense classes, but she's not taken on full-time training yet. But that is a goal of mine, is to get, especially as she goes off to college and see the value of, being able to defend yourself. So like
Oh,
you
for
said,
sure.
getting that
I
insurance,
mean,
right? And hopefully never having to use it,
exactly.
but having the knowledge.
Oh my
So.
gosh. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And her being the age to go off to college now is extremely important because she's basically going to be kind of on her own, you know? And I can speak from personal experience knowing jujitsu as, or knowing self-defense as a college student. I wish I had jujitsu at the time, but that's why I took self-defense classes. It helps, you know, it helps. So
No, it does.
I hope that she does that. I hope that she does jujitsu with you.
One day,
Yeah.
my goal, my life goal.
So, can you kind of talk about how the journey has been so far?
I still remember, I came in for my intro class and I'm sitting here thinking, what am I doing? But the little kids were all sparring on the mat and rolling around and it looked so natural and so fun. And I was just like, hey, I can do this. I still remember it was really awkward for me to get super close, right? And eliminate the space and essentially be rolling around hugging people on the
Oh,
mats
yeah.
was just strangers, right? But as my journey's progressed, most of y'all are family now, and so it's not that awkward for me. And it's become more comfortable. But that was, a huge hurdle for me when I started. It was just not comfortable. It was not natural to be that close and not have that space. So there was some learning curve at first for all of us. I was a spazzy white belt, as we could say, and it's like learning to even, control yourself under the pressure, I think, was a big learning curve that I had as a white belt, and just learning how to flow more or less than to always kind of like go at it like I'm defending for my life. So, as we've grown though, as it's been nice because I have had some partners that you build those relationships with, and you can work on kind of your strengths and your weaknesses together, and one another's strengths and weaknesses, and can challenge one another on those to get better.
Oh, definitely.
It really is a community and a family. We say our brothers and sisters, and I think that's what keeps me coming back to the mats. Like I feel so welcomed. There's been journey was very consistent, and then we hit the pandemic, right? And we were doing virtual trainings, and then we were training with face masks, which I cannot believe I ever did because it's impossible to breathe, but it definitely made us stronger. But at the end of the day, when I come to train, I feel good. I feel like I have a community. Even when I go periods where I don't come and train and I have rocky patches through life that just don't allow me to train as consistently, I find myself still coming back to the mats and it feels like home, and where I belong. And everyone is so welcoming. And everybody's so kind to one another. We really have a great school that fosters that type of environment, which is what's kept me on this journey.
Yeah, and I think that's so important too. Like some of the other ladies have also talked about that too. Not just necessarily the ladies that train with us, which of course are the first ones I asked because those are the people that I know. But I've been introduced to other ladies from other schools, and they all have said the same thing. Like a mark of a good school is nurturing that partnership culture, like the culture of helping each other and teaching each other and being willing to learn and not being there to like kill each other, you know, everybody has said that. So, you know, and I think that's also why people stick around, you know. Like you said, rocky patches
Absolutely.
through life, like we all have them. And it's just, I guess, what's that saying? Oh, a black belt is a white belt that just never stopped training,
Never gave up,
never gave up.
right? Just never gave up, never stopped training. All you gotta do is show up and be better than you were yesterday or the last time you're on the mats, right? Just take your baby steps. Everyone has their own journey. Some of us are competing to be a world champion. Some of us are young and, we can bounce back quicker. And some of us are trying to, learn self-defense. To me, it's therapy, it's a workout. It's helped me with stressful situations in life and work and how to, just remain calm under pressure. And it's, even my healthcare doctor tells me just keep doing jiu-jitsu because he knows it's such a great cardio. He thinks I'm crazy, but it's such a great cardio, workout that he even encourages me to keep doing it and saying that, it'll continue to keep you healthy through life, right? Being fit and active. So I think, there's a lot of reasons that we all train and we all have our why, so to say, that drives us on our journey.
Yeah. Well, and that's part of the podcast too, is like I wanted to explore the why. It started with myself, but I always had a vision of doing exactly this. Like this whole entire season two, has basically been me talking to other ladies and finding out their why. Every single person, even though what the why might be similar, or we've had some similar like themes or reasons for why they wanted to train. Every person has a unique story that's equally as fascinating. And so this is this is only the second season. I only have two, but I'm gonna say this is my favorite season so far.
Oh, I love it. Well, I'm glad I'm a part of your favorite
I'm
season.
glad you are too.
And looking forward to more seasons to come.
Oh,
Absolutely.
for sure. For sure. So, speaking of the journey, speaking of like the growth, can you talk about some of the triumphs or like lessons or tidbits of knowledge that you've learned over the years that have shaped kind of who you are now?
Yeah, I think, ultimately with jiu-jitsu, it's like I feel like I'm always just not going to be good. I get excited when I do something, but I think there's just it's like you're constantly learning, and it's great because, sometimes we master things in life and then it gets boring, and I feel like jiu-jitsu is never going to get boring because I'm always going to have plenty of areas of opportunities to improve. I love fighting off my back, so I found a lot of my strengths are, playing in guard and triangles and arm bars, and I enjoy that. I'm trying to learn to feel more secure in my mount and perfect that. A lot of it's being the lighter opponent, and I feel like I'm always getting swept, so I'm trying right now to perfect, how do I stay heavier and flatten myself more and not get swept and keep my hips low and whatnot. So, I've found areas I'm good at and a lot of areas of opportunity that I need to continue to grow at. I think, like I came at as a white belt, I came out the gates, fast and wanted to be, like I wanted to compete. I wanted my gold medals, and I don't know, like very naive and everything. And I started at, I'll be open about my age. I was 35. So I'll be 42 this year. And as I've gotten older, right? I mean, 30 to 42 is kind of a big difference. And it's just, I've more cautious now about, I want to get really good at technique. I want to get stronger, but I don't really necessarily want to train as hard as I did in the past. I want to, do more of that flowing and get really good at refining my technique and then also building the strength that I have and I need and doing that. So more endurance. I think I heard someone say as you get older, it's more about maintenance, maintaining kind of like your ability than performance as necessarily. I'm not trying to be the gold medal anymore or that like, get to the top. I'm just really trying to get better and maintain kind of what I am holding on to today and continue
Yeah,
that.
I would definitely agree with that for sure. I mean, I'm also getting older. I mean, I just had my birthday a couple months ago. I'm 37. I
You're
mean,
belated.
I'm 37. I started jiu-jitsu right before I turned 29. So I was already pushing 30 at the time that I started. And so 40 is not too far away now. So it's like I can definitely tell, exactly as you said, like maintenance of my skills, maintenance of my flexibility, stamina, things like that is top priority, like the older that I get. All of us, every person who's been I guess on the podcast to give this kind of interview, and even myself too, we've all said this, like, oh yeah, when I was a white belt, I was like this and this and this and this. And I have to think that like that's honestly probably just how white belts are, because if they're coming into something new and awkward, and it is kind of like fighting, and so you're not sure what
It
to
is.
do, and you're like, oh my God, what do I do? So, when you're a white belt, like a beginner, you don't really know what you don't know. And I think that's just something that we all do. So, I'm thinking that maybe white belts and like us looking back on our white belt selves, I think we need to have maybe a little bit more compassion.
Oh, yeah,
and you know, maybe
absolutely.
not be, because I know I've like looked back on my white belt self and just kind of cringed. It's like, oh God, oh, why was I like that? Why did I do that? But it's like, you know, you just don't know at the time. So it's like, how would I know if I didn't know it?
Perfecting the art.
Yeah.
You're a beginner, right? You had no clue what you were doing. None of us do. Everyone started as a white belt though, so I feel like we all have our beginner story. And your journey
It
changes. I
does.
think that's it. My journey as a white belt, my why was maybe a little different than it is today. I mean, some of it was similar, the self-defense, but I think some of the things that were motivating and driving me have changed over the 6 years, and the maturity, not only in life, but I feel like in your belt rankings too, right? The blue belt, was challenging, and then now I feel like it's a lot having a purple belt, so I'm kind of a perfectionist about it. Like I'm wanting to, I want to make sure that I represent that skill set, and I put that pressure on myself too, to get better and to perfect my technique to be, the best I can be, as well, and find those opportunities that I need to work on and work on them.
Yeah.
So, and it's challenging, but every belt's a chapter.
I agree. I definitely agree. It's because I can look back on like my white belt self, my blue belt self, my purple belt self, and now my brown belt self, and
Yay.
I can see the growth, and I can be like, oh yeah, you know, I call myself a little baby white belt. I was like, oh, just a little baby. And so I was like, oh yeah, you know, like little baby white belt, kind of bumbling around, making all these kinds of mistakes that you would expect of a beginner.
Yeah, that's what's great about being the beginner is you can make those mistakes and it's okay.
Well, the me at the time, the version of myself at the time, I didn't want to be making those mistakes. You know, I was like, why can't I just get this right? And it's like, it took me a really long time to kind of figure out, like, that's not really how jujitsu works. You're not gonna just like snap your fingers and just like get it right. Like, it's an art. Like, it's, you know, fluid kind of. There's room for variations, there's room for error, there's room for all this kind of stuff.
Well, what works for me might not work for you, and what works for you might not work for me, just based on our body types
Exactly.
alone, right? The lengths of your arms and legs, and what feels better and natural, and what you gravitate to. So I think we have to realize that, and it takes a little bit to understand that, hey, that's a great move, but that's just not my move. It's not for me.
Oh yeah, and I've had to come to that realization too. Like you said, because I have had to realize the way my body is structured makes certain moves really difficult for me to execute with like easily or sometimes even at all. So for example, because I think like you're pretty tall, aren't you? You're kind of tall, you have long legs.
I have a shorter torso, I have longer legs, and that's why I think I like playing in my guard, right? Because it's easy, and I feel like my legs are much stronger, they are, than my arms. So I also go gravitate that way, but yes, the legs are longer, which help. But you work with someone that has a longer torso, and it's harder versus the shorter legs. So, yep, exactly.
The people listening to this on podcast land, they can't see me. When she said people with a longer torso, I was pointing to myself because I do. I have a long torso. I have like kind of short arms. And I've complained about this a lot. So everybody that trains in the mornings know that Stacey has short arms. But it's true though, because like I've literally some of the guys are like, let's stand shoulder to shoulder. Stretch your arm out, and my arm from fingertip to like from shoulder to fingertip is shorter than theirs by like at least a couple of inches, sometimes more if they have really long arms. And they're just like, "Dang, you really do have short arms." Like, I've been saying that this whole time. And then yeah, but then like my legs, so I have a long femur, so like from my hip to my knee is long, but then my like shin bone, like my tibia, fibula, and stuff from my knee to my ankle is actually kind of short. So it's so strange. So when I'm trying to play bottom guard with certain people, it's difficult for me to close my feet behind them because,
Makes sense,
yeah,
yeah.
because like I just don't have enough length. I don't have enough leg to reach. So it's those kinds of people. I'm just like, okay, well, let me just put my feet on the hips. I'll play open guard or whatever. I'll try to
And you've
sweep.
learned to improvise,
Oh,
right?
yeah.
Yeah, like what works for you? Do you have a hard time keeping your guard closed then because of that, or is it
Sometimes,
just depend
yeah.
on the
It
person
depends
you
on the
have in the
person.
guard? Yeah.
It does depend on the person. Sometimes I really do have a difficult
Agree.
time keeping my guard closed because that part of my leg is really short. So I try to do like what's helpful for me. And so because I have short arms, I think that's why
Yeah.
I like choke so much, because if I can get my arm around somebody's neck, it's pretty tight pretty
Yeah.
quickly, because because my arm is so short,
Good
there's no
point.
space,
Yeah.
you know.
See, and I'm not as big of a fan of chokes unless it's with the legs.
You must be really
You
good
know?
at the triangle choke.
Quite the triangle. I've been trying to expand off that though, because it's like once you find something you like and you can get, it's just like I gravitate to it. And I'm like, I need to stop going to what's easiest for me and start going to what's hardest for me to get better at that. You know, those things like the chokes that I don't always, you know, go for because I'm not a fan, but I'm not going to get better if I don't continue to practice them in a live sparring situation. So yeah, I do. I really, and I've been trying to like, you know, do more arm bars than big, because I always gravitate to a triangle, you know. So I'm just trying to challenge myself to expand on my tool belt, what I've got and equipped with. I feel I still have moments where I kind of have to stop and think, right? So another thing I'm trying to work on is just my fluidity of like what is next, or can I, you know, trick them with like I'm going for, you know, this move while, you know, I already have my next move in the back of my head. The chess game. I'm still trying to perfect that human chess game that we play with one another. In jiu-jitsu, I feel like I still have moments where I'm thinking, right? And I want to try to eliminate that time of thinking and it be more, like I said, more fluid and just more muscle memory, really, I think is where it's at. And the only way for me to get there is to continue to show up more than I am and more and more, and just continue training to
Yeah.
get the muscle memory.
No, for sure. Definitely. And that's something I think that maybe we don't realize how important that is having the muscle memory or building that muscle memory. Like you said, because then we don't necessarily have to think about it so much.
Yeah.
Which, for somebody like
I'm
me,
also
I
like an
overthink everything all the time. So.
Exactly. Well, and I'm kind of the same way. So I just want to have to like I don't want to have to, you know, be as much as thinking of my next step ahead and just have it naturally gravitate there. Writing my moves down too, like when we learn something new, especially seminars or when we go away to any camps, I've been really writing things down more. I started off doing that early and then somehow lost the art of, you know, my jiu-jitsu journal. So I've really incorporated that back into as I'm trying to refine everything. Taking the notes. I don't really go back and necessarily read them, but writing things down for me helps me learn. So
Yeah.
just writing down after class the moves has helped me tremendously. And I won't do it for every class. It's more the seminars where we're learning, you know, different things. And, you know, I tend to, if I can't incorporate it and get back to the mats to practice that move, I will kind of forget something very small but very important in executing it. So I do like to write everything down now. That way I can go back and reference it. So when I can train again, I can flip open my notebook and remember how to do the move and practice.
Yeah, there have been a couple of other people that I've talked to who talk about having a jiu-jitsu journal, and I know Denise had one too. I always saw her writing in
Yeah.
it. A few people at the school I've seen having jiu-jitsu journals. Can we just kind of tangent about a jiu-jitsu journal for a minute? Can you talk about I mean, you kind of just did, but can you kind of expand
Yeah.
on the like benefits that it's given you and
Yeah. Like I said too, I think for me, everyone learns differently, right? So, I mean, watching people do things, some people like watching YouTube videos and, you know, then taking it back to the mat, which I, you know, don't always recommend, but like some people enjoy writing things down, watching it, doing it. For me, it's always been hands-on, having to, you know, roll up my sleeves and get my hands dirty for me to learn. I also like writing things down. So, like I said, just writing it down helps after, like, we just practiced it for an hour, helps me really kind of just engrave it into my mind a little bit more. But then if I do go back, I can go through and kind of break down the technique, which is nice too. You know, sometimes I found moves I was doing them, but I was leaving out, maybe an important piece. But going back to my journal and being able to read through my notes, I was able to figure out what I was missing and I go back and perfect it a little bit better. The other thing I like is I did, I did our Mexico camp, and there's certain times we have professors come to our school too. And I like to remember who taught me that move, right? Who taught me that choke? Who taught me that sweep or that half guard? And it's nice to be able to put a date, and it's kind of like a timeline, and when you learned it and what professor taught it to you and what was your belt ranking. I like to make little notes down of those things too, because for me it's like going back down memory lane then when you review. So like seminars are a lot of times are what I add to my jiu-jitsu journal and any type of special camps.
Aw, do you ever go back and look at some of the things that you wrote down when you were a white belt, and now that you've
Yeah,
like
and I laugh.
perfected them, and you're like, oh, why did I think that that was complicated? Well, because at the time it was,
I do. I do. I look back and I laugh because sometimes I'm like, what was I even trying to say here? Like, I have no idea what I wrote down. Some of the early stuff, it was like I probably didn't describe that the best way possible that I
Well,
would now.
yeah, I mean, you may not have
Yeah,
had
so
the
it's
you may
fun.
not have known like the quote unquote proper words to describe what was happening at the time, but
Yes,
yeah.
exactly.
But hopefully if you look back on those, you kind of smile and oh,
Well,
little baby
and I
white
think
belt.
writing things down, it's kind of like too, like the journal, right? For some people, it helps. And I've actually been trying to, learn more of, we have an ICP, right? And I talked to Coach Nate about like, hey, I think I want to do ICP. Just, it's a different way of me learning that I think may help myself on the mats, as well as even making myself a better teacher. Sometimes we know how to do things, but then when you have to describe it to somebody else, it's like I get these roadblocks and I'm like, what hand? I don't know how to describe what I'm doing to you, to the class. So it's that I think, even whether you're going to teach or not, just having that knowledge of how to describe to someone what you're doing kind of allows you to learn the technique from a different perspective, which is going to ultimately help you when you go to train on the mats.
Definitely. I absolutely agree
Yeah.
with that. So since we're talking about the like ups and downs, the struggles and things like that, can you discuss some of the like lessons you've learned or some things that you really used to struggle with or maybe still do possibly?
Yeah, I think, I struggle a lot. Well, I have almost like a claustrophobic, like anxiety too, like with being smothered and feeling trapped. So for me, throughout my journey and struggles, it's been really just staying calm. Sometimes I'll tap still to this day, and my opponent's like, why'd you tap? And they're confused. I'm like, it's me, don't worry. Like, I just start to get panicky feeling where it's that flight or fright, like kind of, where I feel like I'm just gonna, and a lot of it's I need to just focus on my breathing, right? And get back into it. But I do have that feeling of, feeling trapped or claustrophobic a lot. And throughout the years though, I've really been able to control it, right? And I feel like almost suppress it. It's, it's still there and it still comes back. But ultimately, I've been able to work through it more and know that, this is temporary. Just breathe, find your pocket, your hole, as professor says, breathe and, think of your next move or wait for your opponent to gas out and make a mistake, right? And so that's the life lessons, but I think it's been a struggle. It's a huge struggle for me, and I still have it. I always struggle, I feel like, with jiu-jitsu. I want to be good so bad, but I feel like that's a struggle, is that I'm not good some days. I just don't feel like we have good days and bad days, but I feel like I'm hard on myself sometimes when I don't have like consecutive good days and I have consecutive bad days. It's like, what am I doing? Like, how can I still be this bad? But then we got to remember we're constantly, as girls too, in a male-dominated sport, and I'm going and showing up and sparring with, majority males, some females, and then I love, sparring even with the teens because I can be more technical with them. But I think, the struggle again is just wanting to be the best. And I keep telling myself, just show up, just keep showing up.
I think that's something that sometimes for those of us who deal with anxiety, depression, and other things like that, Sometimes I think we can lose sight of the fact that like just showing up is
Yeah.
enough, you know, just showing up is enough. Like, don't just stop,
Yeah, don't stop.
you know, like, yeah, like press pause, but don't stop, you
And
know.
even to that point, Stacey, I've pressed
So,
pause because I thought that's what I've needed. And then I find like when I get back, I'm like, why did I ever press pause? You know, I needed this more than ever during that time, right? I needed my community and my brothers and sisters, or just a nice, you know, workout stress reliever on the mat, or just take your mind off life. And I mean, when you're sparring, you can't think of anything else but like your next move. How am I going to escape? You know, or what's my submission? And I think that's another thing about jiu-jitsu I like so much, is you're in the moment. You have no choice but to be in the moment. I'm not thinking about what I'm making for dinner or that work deadline I didn't make today. You know, I'm just in the moment at that time thinking about what's my next move, what's my opponent's move.
yeah, tons of people have, you know, they say similar things too. It's like jiu-jitsu is kind of like
Yeah.
therapy for them. That it's like exactly like you said, everything you just described, like it helps them relieve stress, gives them that sense of community, you know, people to kind of empathize with what they're going through, build them up, you know, and then they leave feeling good. Yeah, but I guess I just kind of want to put out there that like if you need press pause for whatever reason, like that's
Oh, and I
okay.
have.
You know, jujitsu will always be here for you.
Yeah.
You know, jujitsu is always going to be here for you. Your jujitsu family will always be here for you. And so, you know,
And
and everybody's really supportive, which,
I
yeah.
can contest to that, because the last 2 years with having a teenager, you know, I felt like I was a chauffeur and on her schedule more than mine. I also used to work over in Downers Grove. To train was easy right after work. Now I commute, you know, a good 40 minutes in traffic to go train after work. And that's been a challenge for me to adapt to that schedule. And I went through a lot of, I think, even dealing with a little depression and life changes myself and, you know, stress. I went through the last 2 years of patchiness. You know, I would finally get to where I was training on a schedule consecutively, and then something in life would happen. And then I found myself struggling to get there one day a week, every other, you know, and then I was like, this isn't enough. And I get hard on myself about it. And then, you know, but I never gave up. And that was the thing. I was like, I did hit pause. I did, you know, struggle to be consistent. And now I think I've gotten back into the groove. My daughter has her license and a car, so no more do I chauffeur her to her practices and work. You know, I think that I'll be able to incorporate it back into my schedule a lot more. And I'm excited about that. But yeah, I think it's a journey, right? And we're gonna have consistent times and periods, and then we're gonna have periods that you're gonna hit the pause button, and it's okay. Just don't give up.
Exactly. And I think for people kind of like me, where I tend not to enjoy the journey of things, I tend to want to get to my destination. Jiu-jitsu has really helped, you know, enjoy the process, enjoy like what you're doing
Yeah.
now. Because as a white belt, you know, I came in for self-defense reasons, but I just loved it so much and I wanted to stay. And then, of course, I was like, oh, I want to get a black belt one day. And so I think I kind of had that, like, I want to get through these other belts as quickly as possible so I can get to the black belt. But that kind of is like defeats the whole purpose of earning your black belt. Like, you have to, there's time and experience that has to be there before you can earn like the privilege of wearing a black belt. Like, you gotta go through the process. And so it's something that I had to learn then that I'm able to carry with me now. Oh, here's a question that I actually thought of earlier, and I never asked anybody else this because I didn't think of it. What do you want your legacy to be?
Ultimately, like in jiu-jitsu, right? And my legacy, you're asking. I think it's to inspire.
Yeah, I mean, let's start
Yeah.
there and then we can
Good.
go
No.
into
We
life.
don't need to go in life, no. But for jiu-jitsu, my legacy, I think ultimately what I want it to be is to inspire as many females to join jiu-jitsu and be a role model for them. You know, continue to be a good training partner to my other female training partners. So I ultimately, that's my legacy. I think all of us girls are very passionate about that. It's hard. Haven't even been able to get my sister. She trains in Bloomington down at Twin Cities with Tori and Tyler, their new school. So her and my two nephews also train. So it's exciting to watch them. But I've been successful to get her, on board. But that's probably the only person thus far that I've really been able to get to train. And I want to get as many women to come. I can get women to come to the self-defense classes and be interested in that, but to, adapt and continue on with the sport, past a blue belt. I haven't been too successful yet. So that is my leg. I'd love to get more and more women that I know, specifically family and friends or in the community, to train and see the value in it.
Yeah, definitely. So, Jen, what would you say to somebody who maybe is a beginner and feeling like, maybe there's like, oh, I can't do this. I'm not any good at this. Or maybe they've been thinking about starting jiu-jitsu, but they're still kind of hesitant. What would you say to those people?
So just do it. I think, if you're hesitant to trying it, just put on the uniform, feel awkward. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know how to tie the belt. Like, it was all awkward. The gi was awkward when the first time I put it on. I wasn't used to this. Just do it, be okay being uncomfortable for a little bit. We're all beginners, we're all new. I mean, it was always uncomfortable for all of us to get, to get that close to one another, to do, to learn how to apply your pressure. We all had to learn how to do those things. So I think you just have to do it, continue to show up every day. It does get easier. It starts to make sense. But knowing that we all went through that time period as a beginner where it didn't make sense. We were showing up to class, learning things, and yet we would go to set sparring and not know what we were doing and be like a fish out of water flopping around. But it's okay because we all had to be beginners. It's almost like as children, you have to learn how to walk and you have to learn how to crawl, right? You don't know how to do those things and you don't do them the best when you learn, but eventually you figure it out and you learn how to be good at it. So I think just showing up, that's kind of what I would tell them. Just keep showing up, show up to begin with, and then keep showing up. We have a good community. I think, jiu-jitsu community is strong and that helps you to keep showing up and returning as your brothers and sisters and the relationships you build on the mats.
Yeah, having that kind of community is really helpful
Yeah,
too.
it is.
Well, Jen, thank you
Yeah,
so much for being
Stacy.
here. This was
Well,
amazing.
thank you so much for
I
having
loved
me. I've
this.
enjoyed talking about, my journey in jiu-jitsu and, what my struggles and what I've enjoyed about it. And I appreciate you having me on the podcast. I've continued to listen to your podcast. I enjoy seeing all the guests that you have and looking forward to future podcasts. So thank you again. Hopefully, maybe we can do another one in the future.
Oh, for sure. 100%.
Awesome.
All right. That was awesome. I had such a great time talking with Jen. And I could have kept talking for however long, but we gotta cut it off at some point. So, yeah, I just really hope that her story resonated with you and that she helps you to get the courage to try jiu-jitsu if you've never tried it. Now, this is not yet the end. As I said in the beginning, I do have one more episode for you featuring a special guest that I think all of you will be excited to hear. So, that is coming in June. Be on the lookout for that. And that episode is going to wrap season two. But if you've been enjoying the interviews, I do have plans to do another season at some point in the future with more interviews. So, we're not closing the book on this type of thing. We're just, turning the page for now. So, come season three, this is the season that I had planned to really dive deep into the like the kind of the nitty-gritty philosophical type of stuff that has been going through my mind for a long time, actually, like different topics with jujitsu and things like that. But that is yet to come. So, in the meantime, before I let you go for this episode, I just want to remind you that I really appreciate your support the best way to support the podcast is to listen to the episodes and I guess re-listen to the ones that you really like. Give it a rating on your podcast hosting platform or your distribution platform, wherever you listen. And then also leave a review, because every time you do those things, it tells the algorithm that these things have set up. It tells the algorithm that you like what I'm doing. And then the algorithm sees that people like what I'm doing, and then it pushes what I'm doing out to other people who also might like it. So that really, really, really helps. If you were interested in supporting the podcast in a different way, I do have a Patreon. I post stuff over there, episodes, little video tidbits, other like offshoot type of things, other topical things are over there. Also, I do have a merch store. I'm like really excited about this merch, you guys, okay? Because I designed merch that I would want to wear, and in fact, I do wear it. It all started because I just wanted to have my podcast logo on a t-shirt, because I was just so excited. I was just so proud of what I did. I was like, I want to wear my logo on a t-shirt. So I did. And if you also want to wear my logo on a t-shirt, or maybe not my logo, but something different, I have a couple of other designs over there too, then you can go to my merch store. So I have a link tree because I have a lot of other links. So obviously, like, I've got Instagram, which is where I am the most often. I have Instagram, I've got a Facebook page, I've got the Patreon, I've got the merch, there's a Buy Me a Coffee page. There's just a bunch of stuff there. So I have the link tree linked in the description box and also all over my different social medias. So you can find the link to whatever you're looking for in that place. All right, so I will wish all of you to have a great week. Stay healthy, be well, and I will see you next time. Thank you so much for listening. If you would like to connect with me while you wait for the next podcast episode, find me on Instagram at Jujiteta's Podcast and at Jujiteta. I'm also on Facebook at Jujiteta's Podcast. You could also email me at jujitetaspodcast@gmail.com. If you would like to support me in this podcast, you can visit me on Patreon at Jujiteta's Podcast, where you get early ad-free access to all episodes plus some bonus content. You could also find me on buymeacoffee.com at Jujiteta's Pod. Thank you so much for listening. Remember to rate and review. See you next time.